Welcome to Lighthouse Chapel International, Nairobi, Kenya. We invite you to personally experience a life-changing encounter with the Word of God as you listen to this message by Bishop Obi Komi. Bishop Obi Komi serves as a bishop in Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination founded by Bishop Doug Heward Mills. Bishop Obi Komi currently pastors Lighthouse Chapel International, Nairobi, Apache. We believe that this message will give you hope, light, and love to strengthen you in your Christian walk. Now, listen to Bishop Obi Komi.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Everything is going to be very short, so pay attention. All right, I have another testimony here somebody sent me. All right. Okay. I was asking the brother to come and share, but he says he's shy. So I'll read it to you. But I'm sure you can tell us who you are. I don't think I remember him very well. But yeah, here's his testimony. He says, "Hello, Bishop Obi. I want to first thank God for you for bringing you into my life. I thank you praying for us. Recently, you have been prophesying to us that your church members will build. And in just a span of a week, do you have the pictures of his house? In just a span of the week, I've been able to build a two-bedroom house for my mother back home. It's a good place to put your hand. It is not complete yet, but I've already seen the grace of building in me just as you prophesied to us. I believe to finish in God's time. I am earning 16,000 a month. 16,000. He's building a house. 16,000. Tell your neighbor you should be ashamed of yourself for not trying to build. He's earning 16,000. 16,000 a month. But God has revealed to me that it is not what you have. It is about what I can do through him. Thank you, Bishop. May God keep using you. 16,000. 2 weeks. He's building. It's faith. You see, when I share with you about how Prophet told us when we didn't have any money that you don't need money. It says through wisdom is a house built. Through wisdom is a house built. Yes. Somebody has believed it. 2 weeks. Ask your neighbor that. In fact, I'm almost ashamed of you with all your money. All your money. All your money. Two weeks. He's building a house. 2 weeks. How many of you are going to start your building? 16,000. 16,000. 16. 16. He's building the house. He's building the house. All right. Today, everything is very fast. Our short prophetic time is to extract us from darkness. All right. You know, we are going to start praying about the effect on demons by studying the madman of Gadara. All right. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus met a madman, and his story is a story of what demons would like to do to you if you gave them a chance. If you open the door for demons to come into your life, this is the end they want to take you to. That man, in the end, he was mad. He had taken off his clothes, everything. He was living in the tombs. All right? So, number one, it tells about what demons would like to do if you gave them the chance. Then, number two, this story tells us what demons are doing to people, but in a very gradual way. So, sometimes you cannot see that that's how you are ending up. All right? And then, number three, it tells us the final picture. When demons take over your whole life completely. All right? Now, demonic activity starts in the Bible in a spiritual location called darkness. So for demons to afflict you and harass you, they have to draw you into a spiritual location called darkness. Darkness is not a physical location. It's a spiritual location. I don't know whether you understand. So you can, it's not like not having light in your home where you don't have steamer, but it's like as you are here, you are in darkness. So the Bible actually talks about one of the types of demons that afflict us in Ephesians 6:12 as rulers. There are some rulers of the darkness. All right, they rule in darkness. So when they draw you into darkness, then they take control over your life. So you can have sections of your life, but it's in darkness. Your marriage can be in darkness. Your finances can be in darkness. Your health can be in darkness. All right? So you see that there are evil spirits that the Bible describes as rulers of the darkness. Those of you who are joining online, please like, please subscribe, please share, please tell somebody that, in fact, we are going to pray for 2 minutes on something very powerful, that is deliverance from darkness. All right? So you see that the rulers of the darkness, they control people by drawing them into darkness. And once they get you there, they don't want to leave you. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, it says that he has translated us or delivered us from the power of darkness, because darkness can have a power. And in fact, that power of darkness is normally through deception. You are the devil's lie to you and draw you into that place. The power of darkness. So today you are being delivered from the power of darkness, because this is the right of every Christian. And even though you may be a Christian, demons have held control over you with this power of darkness. In John chapter 3 and verse number 18, you see Jesus describing why people don't even want to leave darkness. All right? He says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, or this is the basis, all right, why people are the way they are. That light has come into the world, and men loved darkness. Always remember the word darkness. So today, you are coming out of darkness rather than light. And you know, how do you come out of darkness? The Bible says, in fact, Mike Medock used to say that, you don't cast out darkness, you shine the light. It's called the law of displacement. That when you go through it, when you go to a dark room, you don't shout, darkness go, darkness go, darkness go. You just turn on the light. All right? And demons like to dwell in darkness. They like to hide. They are like mice hiding in the darkness. Yes. I told you that normally when there's light, you never see the mouse. But as soon as I told you the mouse that one day I found in my living room, I could always hear the mouse. But I could never. So one day I stood by the light and I said, today you will come out. Because when the light is on, I never used to see that mouse. So I stood by the light. I waited patiently. 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Then I heard. Then I turned on the light. I say, there you are. It was sitting right there in front of the television. I went for a stick. Today, every demon that has been hiding in your life is coming out in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 5, says that the light shineth. How many of you want a light to shine in your darkness today? The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So today God is going to shine a very bright light into your life. And any spirit that has been hiding in the darkness, any spirit that has been hiding there and causing trouble, confusion, diseases, sickness, poverty, I don't know, curses, any kind of demon, I mean immorality, adultery, fornication, and no, I don't know what. Whatever, every spirit is there. The light is coming on. 2 minutes, lift your voice right now and shine the light. Shine the light right now. Shine the light into your life.
Yes,
those of you online, lift your voice and say, Lord, I'm shining the light. I'm shining the light. I'm shining the light. I'm shining the light. Rama siko tolo brekebe. Remendele brekebe. Remendele brekebe. Remendele brekebe. The light shines.
Yes.
I declare the light shines.
In the name of Jesus.
I declare the light shines
in
your life. I declare the light is shining in your home. I declare the light is shining in your marriage. I declare the light is shining in your ministry.
Yes. We shine the light this morning in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes.
Yes, Jesus says, I am the light of the world.
Yes, Lord.
John 8:12. I am the light. I am the light. I am the light. He that followeth me, and not walk in darkness, you will not walk in darkness. You will not walk in darkness.
Yes.
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 You will not walk in darkness.
Yes. You will not walk in
darkness. Yes. You will not walk in
darkness. Yes. You will not
walk in darkness. Yes. You will not walk in darkness. Yes. You will not walk in darkness. Yes. You will not walk in darkness. Yes. You will not walk in darkness.
Yes. You will not walk in darkness. Yes. You
will not walk in darkness. Yes. You will not walk in darkness.
Yes. You will
not walk in darkness. Yes. You will not walk in darkness.
In the name of Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus.
We are grateful for the opportunity, Lord, to take out every darkness out of our life. Thank you for translating us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. We give you praise that every darkness, every deception that is in our life is overcome by the power of the light. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. We give you praise and we give you thanks in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You may take your seat. Our time is almost up. All right. For the few minutes that we have left, last week we were talking about faithfulness and loyalty. All right. That God expects us to be loyal in many areas of our lives. Do you remember that? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, it is required in stewards that a man, all right, 1 Corinthians 4, 2, that a man be found what? Faithful. And we said the word faithful means the word loyal. It means the word staunch. Do you remember the seven meanings? All right. It means staunch. It means devoted. It means what else? It means constant. It means trustworthy. All right? So you see that there are many, many meanings of the word to be faithful and to be loyal. I can't even find the notes that I was. Okay? So it means to be the same. And this is something that must govern all your relationships, because you need to demonstrate reliability to be dependable when it comes to God. All right? You need to be trustworthy when it comes to marriage. The Bible says in Malachi 2:14, you know, God says that he hates divorce. He says, I have been a witness between you and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. So you need to be faithful when it comes to marriage. You need to be faithful when it comes to your friends. All right? Some of you are not dependable friends. You are not reliable friends. You understand? You know, when somebody tells you something, before they know, you have told everybody. You understand? Even when they tell you, don't tell anybody. You tell somebody and tell the person, please don't tell anybody. We'll also tell somebody that, please don't tell anybody. You understand? And your friend didn't intend that it should be broadcast everywhere. You understand? And some of you, you see, and that's why it means to be the same. You understand? Yes. One time, you know, I heard about two ladies who were quarreling. And they were not quarreling. I mean, it's like somebody that is around. Then, when they were quarreling, one of them started releasing a lot of secrets about the other person. I mean, deep secrets that only a very close friend should have known. So I asked my wife that, if she's saying all these things about this person, how did she know? And my wife said that they were best friends before. Do you understand? So you realize that somebody can be your friend today. You understand? You share all your secrets with a person. Then as soon as things change, suddenly the person is releasing everything. But that's not how it should be. If somebody has told you something in confidence and you are even quarreling with a person, you understand? You know that that information is not supposed to be released still. You can insult them. You can say your nose is as long as a bass. You can say your ear is as this and whatever. But you don't say the other things that the person told you that you shouldn't say. Or that's not the case. You see? So you realize that, you know, you must be faithful to your friend. And truly, everybody needs people you can. If you don't have a friend you can confide in, you are very alone in this world. Do you understand? I have friends that, I mean, I can confide in. Do you understand? One of my best friends is called Bishop Prince. I'm sure you see him next week. He knows things. I've told him things I've not told my wife even. I've told him things. Because if I'm going to talk about her, I can't tell her, so I have to tell somebody. Obviously, if she's the problem, I can't tell her. Is it? I have to tell. So how many of you realize that you need friends like that you can trust? And for you to have friends you can trust, you yourself, you need to be somebody can trust. But you see, many people and that is why the Bible says that many a man will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man, somebody you can trust, somebody you can tell something to and they will not tell the world. Are you understanding? I say a faithful man. It's like everybody will say they are good, but a faithful person, somebody who is devoted, somebody who is reliable, somebody who is dependable. Who can find such a person? Oh, may you become such a person. I say, may you become such a person. The Bible says that confidence in an unfaithful man, like somebody you thought you can rely on, a friend you thought you could rely on. You understand? It's like a broken tooth. Have you had a broken tooth before? Where you thought the tooth was okay and you tried to chew a bone. And you discovered that the bone was stronger than the tooth was not there. Has it happened to you before? It's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You see, nobody wants to rely. Can you imagine if you built a 40-story building? Do you understand? Or somebody built it and you went up there and you went on the 40th floor and you saw one of the balconies. Do you understand? nicely done up, and then you try to lean on the balcony to look down, and you discover that it was made of cardboard. How many of you? You discovered that it was made of cardboard. How many of you will realize that it's not a good thing? And many of us, that is how we are. Do you understand? When God relies on us, sometimes when our friends rely on us or whatever, they discover that, man, they have backed the wrong horse. So faithfulness is something that must be seen in your relationship with God, in your relationship with friends, in your relationship with your word. Your word. You must be faithful to your word. And last week I shared with you from Proverbs 15:4. It says that what? He that sweareth to his own head and changeth not. It's like you make a promise. And because you made a promise, you don't want to change your mind. You told somebody, I will marry you. I will marry you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And then later, you discover that, man, I wish. But you see, you made a promise, I will marry you. Not that there's something wrong with the person, but maybe you have seen something that looks greener. And that is why you see that I told you that when people come to make the vows, it's so amazing the things we say when we are getting married. But what happens to us? Eh? When we say both in prosperity and in adversity, do you understand? But as soon as there's adversity, you see the person changing. You see the person changing. And I think it happens a lot to late women. Either when the husband gets poorer or when she gets richer, a lot of women change. A lot of women cannot handle that I have more money than you. Suddenly the word becomes different. Suddenly it's different from you are the head. Suddenly it looks like you are the head, I'm the one with the money, so it's different. You are no longer the head because my salary has increased and now I am the one paying for the house rent. I showed a picture to a couple who are going to get married. I told them that this shall never... I hope somebody has a picture. The woman has bought the bed. She's lying on the bed and the man is hanging by the side of the bed. I wish I could find that picture. I wish I could find that picture and show it to you. Eh? You have a picture like that? Have you seen that picture before? Send it to Anne. The woman has bought the bed. In fact, the caption under the picture is something. It says that, you know, have you sent it to her? It says that this is what happens to you. But this is not what's supposed to happen. But many women cannot handle it at all. Well, it's like once she has more money, she changes to something else. It doesn't matter that maybe for 20 years you are the one who was looking, doing everything or helping or whatever. But the day, yeah. Hey, but that shall not be your testimony in the name of Jesus. I say, and it is the cause of a lot of problems. Because suddenly no respect. Suddenly she talks to you anyhow. Suddenly she behaves anyhow. You'll be lucky to get. One day I went to somebody, one brother's house in the church. And he brought a bowl from the fridge. He said, this is my food. I told him, when I saw the bowl, I said, is this for a cat or for a human being? I looked at the bone and said, this must be for a cat. Because I've never seen a human being who can eat this amount of rice. It was like this. I tell you, he said, Bishop, he almost with tears in his eyes. He said, this is my food. And it was not rice with stew or rice with anything. It was just raw rice. He had become a scavenger in his house. When he comes home, he has to scavenge. He has to be looking for something. One brother, every day we used to see him going home.
You see him carrying a lot of bananas. Are you a monkey? I said, we used to look at the man who didn't pay. Look at the woman sitting. When this is what they call, is it the caption? When the woman pays the rent. One leg is on the floor. No blankets. He's not sleeping. He's awake. How can you sleep? She has paid the rent and bought the bed. She has paid the rent. And you are there. You haven't paid rent. Look at him. One leg. I mean, I don't know how you can sleep with one leg on the floor. I don't know how I got to this message. This is not my message for today. But the Holy Spirit is guiding me to solve some issues. One leg is on the floor. Can you imagine this man attempting to ask for sex? Do you think this man will have confidence? Confidence. Can you imagine this man even thinking that let me ask for, and look at the way they have put the bottles to face him. He can't ask. He does not. You see, he doesn't want the arm to even touch the bottles. He has put them, because if you are not careful and you touch it, she can slap you and then you just be off the bed. When the woman pays the rent. Sit down. This is not my message. You have fought my message. But I'm just saying that, you know, don't let anything change you. Loyalty means you are unchanging. You are unchanging. When you are rich, you remain the same. When things are hard, you remain the same. When you go abroad, you remain the same. When you become a millionaire, you remain the same. When you become a billionaire, you remain the same. I have met brothers who don't want their wife to even, it's like, you say, it will end my marriage if this woman even does well. It's almost like, even the little sign I've seen of her, if she even goes higher, I don't think I can even live in this house. Okay, the picture is enough. The brother has suffered enough. So you realize that loyalty means the same. It means you are not changing with time. Do you understand? It means that you are trustworthy. All right. And we've gone through all that. Now, today I want to just go quickly on seven spirits that make people change. All right. And today I'll just deal with one particular one that is just burning on my heart. All right? And what are some of the spirits? There are many spirits that make people change. But one of the greatest spirits you must be aware of, that can make you change is the spirit of offense. Offense. In the book Stages of Disloyalty, we always say that disloyalty is a process. The first stage is what we call independent spirit. And today I'm just going through just a few things on the second stage, all right, which is offenses, all right. You see, many people do not realize how dangerous an offense is. That is why you joke with it. Offenses change you. Offenses can turn somebody who is a friend into an enemy. Offense can change a once beautiful marriage into something else. Offense is the cause of unfaithfulness. A lot of people, you know, one brother told me about how he went to commit adultery, not because of anything. He was just offended. He was offended. He decided that let me go just see somebody or whatever. He went and had a drink somewhere, and that was the end of everything. He was finished. So you must be careful when you are offended, because it has the power to make you unfaithful. It has the power to make you disloyal. It has the power to turn you into a monster. A monster. You will not believe what you have become. That is why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 10, all right, it says many will be offended, not a few people. Many will be offended, and it shall what? They shall betray. They shall betray one another. They shall become disloyal. They shall become disloyal. And not only that, you can hate somebody. Yes. When you allow offense to get into you. You know, a long time ago, I read the book by John Bevere, you know, and it was called The Bait of Satan. The Bait of Satan. And I think his text was from this scripture in, I think, Luke 17:1. What does Luke 17:1 say? All right. It says, it is impossible. It is, you know, in this world, you have to accept that, you know, offenses can come. It says, it's not that if you have to accept offenses come. Offenses are definite. But you shouldn't allow offenses to change you. Many of our pastors who have left the ministry and become monsters, I mean, actual monsters, just something, offenses. Offenses. It is impossible that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. Yes. And you see that, and this word offense is a Greek word, scandalon, which means a trap, which means a snare. Anytime an offense comes to you, a trap has been set for you, that when you fall into it, you are finished. You are done for. In relation to God, people become offended with God and turn into something weird. See, I'm offended with God. Why do people leave? Most people who leave churches are offended with something. Yes, they are offended about something. Something offends them. And you see, when this book comes out, you know, because I've been reading this book, and when you see this book, you should buy it. Yeah. Yes, that's why I decided to talk. Yes, I think it has been released, but I don't think we have it here. Yes, you may be surprised. Those who are offended is one of the prophet's latest book in the loyalty series. Those who are offended. Okay, those who are offended. It's not a small thing. Yes. Those who are offended. If you don't see offense as a door through whom Satan, you see, every time you see something about Satan, you must know, you know, when the prophet was sharing with us, you know, from the book, one of the books that we're using for the prayer, the porch and the altar. I've forgotten the name of the book. He was describing why Satan became Satan. You know, many of us read only the ones we have in Isaiah and whatever, but in that book, there were three archangels. I think it was Gabriel, it was Michael, and then it was Lucifer. And Lucifer was the most beautiful of them all. Glorious, fantastic, beautiful angel. Then one day, Gabriel, who is normally, I think, the messenger, came and told Lucifer that God is making man. The Chronicle of Three Brothers. God is making man. Then Satan's face changed. Why? He doesn't think we are good enough. Why is he replacing us? Why is he making man? And that was the beginning of the monster that became the devil that we are casting out all the time. And today, my message is very short. Don't open the door to an offense. Whether with God, whether in the church, whether in your, you know, when you see couples that have become bitter against each other, it's not a sight that you want to. It's not when you see people who were once in love. Have you gone to a divorce court before? When I saw one of these stars, whatever, and the wife, is it Paul McCartney or somebody like that? The things, the evil things they said, that, and you just wonder, that were these people once in love? Yes! Every couple you see breaking up, divorcing, quarreling, and all, they were once in love. They were once, they could, they, once they used to test each other every 5 minutes. Hello, babe. Hello, sweet. Hello, sugar. Hello, Papa. Hello, this. So you ask yourself, that what happened? What happened? Offense. And it starts little, little, little things. You see that a time comes, they don't even talk again. They sit in the house. This one is on their phone. This one is on their phone. The television is on. The house is silent. There's no talking. Does it any question? Yes. No. Okay. I don't know. I don't know. That's all. Yes. Any church member, any, you know, when you see some of our pastors who have left, ask them, you are offended. You are, don't let them deceive you that hey, I left because I had to fulfill my calling. I felt I had a call. Offenses. Offenses. Okay? So let me give you different types of offenses you must be aware of. Number one, offenses that will hurt you. They will hurt you. You may be happy to be a member of the church today. You may be glad that God has called you and made you a part of the fold. Oh, you and your friends may be glad. Indeed, you may even boast about how things are different in your church. But Jesus predicted that one day you'll be struck in a way that may cause you a lot of pain. Offenses that will hurt you. Number two, offenses that will anger you. They will annoy you. They will irritate you. Number three, and I'm closing, offenses that will reproduce resentment and hatred. Yes. Hatred, they produce hatred. Prophecies, I have had people who have described me as the nicest, greatest, and the best. These same people turned around after being offended and called me the exact opposite. You see, and anytime you realize that somebody is offended, you know, if you are not careful, we don't have time to go to, you buy the book when it comes. But if you are not careful, the person is sowing a seed in you because one of the seeds of offense is revenge. You, if you are not careful, the person who has changed will change you. The person who has changed. You know, I discovered that when one day, you know, just, and it's all by the grace of God. I just like helping, like many of my pastors, helping them in different ways, especially when it comes to marriages and all these things. I mean, many different things I like to help. So one day, a pastor called me in the midst of an orangu who was misbehaving and asked me for help that normally I would give without even thinking. It was a help that was not even a big thing. But I was in my office. The way I railed at the guy. This guy, meanwhile, he has done nothing wrong. I shouted at him. Ungrateful person. Stupid person. I blasted the guy. How dare you even call me? You are the ones who we help you. And meanwhile, he was not the one. But you see, the other guy had changed me. As soon as I put the phone down, a voice spoke to me that, this guy, what has he done to you? The Holy Spirit said, this guy that you are shouting at, what has he done to you? Yes. Then I said, Lord, I'm sorry. It's the other guy. It's the other guy I'm thinking about, but because he has not called me, I have put all my... Be very careful when people hurt you. You tend to hurt other people without intending to. Be careful. Be careful when you are... You see, that's why when people marry women that have been hurt by other men, you need a lot of maturity to live with them. A woman who has been disappointed, Shaba, Santribo, the heart has been broken and it has been put together by super glue. It has been put together by silicon and the crack is still there. The crack is still there. And you too, you have come. You wonder, do you understand why you are experiencing the problems? Before you know, you say something, say, eh? That's how all you men are. That's how all you men say, oh, but what's the problem? Me, I've never done something like that before. Be careful. You see, I feel that God wants to heal many people who are offended in the church today. All right? One who's healed. You know, Bishop, for 2 weeks, you see, he has been preaching in the Flow Church about wounds and healing, wounds. And I, as he has been talking about it, I realized that there are a lot of wounded people, some from their past. Some of the people's wounds have even nothing to do with our church. But it's like they join the church as wounded people. So as somebody just, you see, if you had a wound and it's not been healed properly, maybe it's covered at the top, then you come to church, do you understand? And then as we are doing, do you understand? This is how we praise you. Then somebody has stepped on the wound. Suddenly your reaction is overblown and it looks out of proportion. But it's because the person was wounded already. God is healing you today. May you be a faithful person in all your relationships. There will be offenses that will be difficult to forgive and forget. Offenses that are difficult to forgive and forget. Number 5, there will be offenses that will bring problems. People are angered and bitter from experiences they have had in life. People have had bad experiences in churches. Yes. And maybe some of you, this is not your first church. Maybe sometimes something happened in another church before you came here. Maybe something happened in another ministry before you came here. Maybe another pastor disappointed you or whatever before you came here. I've heard of people say, oh, they were cheated somewhere, they whatever. So as you are coming, you can't easily even be loyal. You have to be healed first. These bad experiences bring hurt, pain, and bitterness and are the foundations of tragic breakaways and rebellion in the church. Rarely do you find a breakaway person or a rebel or a discontented person who has not been offended. Yes, cannot be offended. There's a story of Adolf Hitler and how he became the monster that he is. Yes. When after the First World War, the way Germany was treated and the way Germany was made to pay the reparations and all those things created resentment in them until Adolf Hitler rose up. Even I've been reading articles about Putin. Do you understand that he's very angry? He keeps talking about 1991. The Western world and NATO signed an agreement with Boris Yeltsin that NATO would never expand to a certain place. As soon as the breakaway came in, they just start, all the other countries started becoming NATO. So the guy, if you see him throwing missiles, throwing bombs, throwing drones, throwing whatever, do you understand? It's not right, but you can see that the guy, there's something in him. And he's now threatening everybody with nuclear weapons. That if you now try, we'll end the world. And that is how offended people are. A time comes, they don't even care whether what they are doing destroys they themselves. Because a nuclear war is a war that every Russian will also die. But an offended person, he say, I'll break this house down and war collapse in it. I'll destroy this marriage and war finish. I'll break down this church. So as you wonder that an offended person who is leaving the church, why does he want the whole church to collapse in addition? If you are leaving and you are going to start your own church, what's the big deal? You just go and start your church. But no, an offended person doesn't think that way. An offended person wants to break the house down upon all of us. So when you see somebody who is offended, everything should be destroyed. Everything. Our children should be destroyed. Our hope should be destroyed. I'm breaking the house down on the two of us. May you never become a monster. I say, may you never become a monster. May you be healed of every offense. There will be offenses that will bring woes. But today, I believe the word of God wants to heal us. It is the second stage in you becoming a disloyal person. When you become offended, disloyal to God. You know, when you expect that God should have done certain things for you, and still, you are watching, you are in the church, you are praying. One sister told me, I'm watching fornicators have babies. And me, I married when I was a virgin. Where's my baby? I still said, don't be offended. You see, because these things can offend you. It's like God is not fair. Yes, fornicators are having babies, and you, the one who got married as a virgin, fornicators are having twins. Today, be healed of every offense. Stand to your feet and let's close. May you not become a rebel in the church, a rebel in your marriage, a rebel. May you not turn out and hurt people because you have been hurt yourself. Lift your voice and let's just pray. Pray that Lord, heal me, heal me. Our prophet has been preaching about healing. Go and listen to it. Wounded, you may be wounded. Psalm 119, is it verse 65? It says, great peace, I think, are they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing. Lift your voice and pray. Shako tolo breke brendele bebende. Remendele breke brendele bebende. Man dele breke tolo breke brendele bebende.
Yes, Lord.
Raising dele breke brendele bebende.
Heal us.
Remon dele breke oriondolo bebende.
Heal our hearts.
Man dele siko tolo breke bebende.
In the name of Jesus.
Heal our wounded hearts, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Anything in our lives.
Oh, Jesus.
In our homes.
Yes.
In our marriages.
My God.
In our jobs.
My God.
In the church.
Yes, Lord.
In the ministry.
Mando,
oh, yes. That have wounded us. Oh yes, in relationships.
Oh yes.
In your friendships.
Heal our
any friend that has hurt you.
Heal our hearts.
Any brother that has hurt you.
Heal our hearts.
Any family member that has wounded you.
Heal our hearts.
Any pastor that has wounded you.
Heal our hearts.
Any church that has wounded you.
Heal our hearts.
Any job that has wounded you.
Oh Jesus.
Any place. Somebody you trusted.
Yes, Lord. Every offense. From our workplace, in our families, Lord.
Offenses
in our relationship. Yes, Jesus.
Offenses in your marriage.
My God.
Offenses in your basanta.
Heal our hearts.
Offenses with your pastor.
Heal us, Lord.
Offenses with your friends.
Have mercy, Lord.
Offenses with somebody you trusted.
Jesus.
You must be healed or it will destroy you.
Yes.
You must be healed or it will come up again one day. You must be healed or it will come back and change you into a that was covered over,
yes,
but not properly healed.
Yes.
Today, the power of God is healing you.
In the name
the
of
power
Jesus.
Of God is healing that wound.
In the name of Jesus.
An offense can turn you into an unfaithful man.
Yes.
Pray about it.
In the name
don't
of Jesus.
Be offended. Allow the wound to heal.
Yes, Lord.
Sisters,
yes.
An offense
Kato.
Can destroy you.
In Malus. Yes,
for out of it,
help us,
out
Lord.
Of this heart,
help us,
and
Lord.
The issues,
help us, Lord.
Pray for your heart, the Lord. Every wound that
yes.
is deep,
yes, yes,
in my heart,
yes,
that affects me.
Yes.
Of unforgiveness. Ushers, watch the power of God like a wave of the Holy Spirit. Like a wave of the Holy Spirit. It's getting stronger. It's getting stronger. It's getting stronger. Thank you for your healing, Lord. Thank you for the healing of our wounded hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Receive your healing right now. Receive your healing right now. Receive your healing. You will not turn into something different from the sweet person that you are. From the sweet person that you are. Yes. 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 Bring that person to me, yes. Yes. Somebody at the back as well. Yes. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes. Thank you for healing. Thank you for your power. Just put it down. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your healing. 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 Oh, yes. Ah, I command healing. I command healing. Just leave it. I command healing. I command healing. I command healing. Oh, yes. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant that has a root out of dry ground. He has no form. And when we shall see him, there is no comeliness that we should desire him. Oh, but he was rejected and despised of men, a man of sorrows. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we declare healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Many homes are being restored. Many marriages that were on the verge of being destroyed are being repaired by the power of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our service today. We give you praise, Lord. We give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the thanks. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today's service. Today has been a healing service. We thank you for changing our lives. We believe that, Lord, the spirit of offense, the trap of Satan, shall not have access into our lives. We give you praise and we give you thanks in the mighty name of Jesus. Maybe you are here this afternoon. You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is the only one that can heal you. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I need Jesus as my Savior. Lift up your right hand and I'll pray for you. Lift up your right hand and I'll pray for you. God bless you. Lift it up high. Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. Come forward. I see all of you. Come forward very quickly. Let me pray with you. Come forward. Oh, many of you, keep coming, keep coming.
Come running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling.
Yes,
he said his grace yes. will cover you, his blood will flow freely,
yes.
it will provide the yes. healing. Come
There's
running
no
to
yes.
the mercy
no
seat. Come running to the mercy seat where Jesus
oh, I
is
that many
holding.
Of you.
He
Keep
said
coming.
His
Keep
grace
coming.
Will cover you. His blood will flow freely. It will provide
Jesus.
Healing.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray this prayer together. Those of you that are here, let's say this prayer together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and you rose again for my sins. This afternoon, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for them that they will be rooted and grounded and never fall away. In Jesus' name, amen.